Hi, everyone. Welcome to Flock Talk. I'm Aaron Morgan.
And I'm Tom Lewis.
And we work for the farmer members of the Ontario Sheep Farmers Organization.
This week, we are discussing marketing with Mark Ferrero and his son, Chris, from Brussels Livestock.
Hello, Mark and Chris. Thank you for joining us on Flock Talk.
Thank you, Tom and Aaron, for inviting us to your show today. Like you said, I'm sitting here with my son, Chris. I think Chris has a lot of added value since how he's managing the lamb sale at Brussels and co-managing the lamb sale at Ontario Stockyards in Cookstown.
Well, it's great to have both of you on the show. And why don't you tell us a little bit about both of yourselves and your family auction business?
Okay, I'll start. My wife Cindy and myself, we purchased Brussels 14 years ago. And as our children finished university and college, they decided they wanted to come back and work with the family business rather than branch out and work for somebody else. So we're lucky that we have all five of our kids working for us as well as their husbands and wives. So it is a family business at the two stockyards. And we purchased Ontario Stockyards in Cookstown 5 years ago. And since then, we've been trying to improve on our service at both locations on a yearly basis. You have anything to add, Chris?
Yep. I'm Chris Ferrero. I'm a University of Guelph Ridgetown graduate. So when I got out of school, the first thing I did was start working at the sales barns, and I kind of started at the bottom working, penning, then sorting the lambs, and now I'm up to order buying and managing the sale, dealing with the buyers and the sellers. So it's an educational process, and I really enjoy doing it every week. I love dealing with the farmers, I love dealing with the buyers, and I love the challenges it throws at you every day.
Well, that's fantastic. It's really important to love what you do. So the auction system in Ontario plays an important role in price discovery. Can you tell us about the services you provide to producers selling lamb and other commodities? Why choose to sell through the auction?
Well, Aaron, that's a good question. I sit on the board of directors for Canada for the auction marts, and I am very passionate about the auction system and the way of marketing livestock. The system is fully transparent, so a seller can attend the sale as well as the buyers. The product is weighed up right in front of you. If there's any disputes, they can be solved quickly for the sake of commerce. And, you know, you can leave our facility as quick as 10 minutes after your product is sold with a check in full. And it's just a terrific way to create competition, which is very important in the sale of livestock. When you're selling your livestock on one bid off the farm, you don't really know where you need to be at that particular time. So if you are following the auction method, I mean, it does fluctuate with supply and demand, but you kind of have your finger on the pulse of what's going on. And you're usually selling at the highest possible time if you are communicating with the people that run the sale. I don't know if Chris has anything else you want to say.
I would just like to add that, like, we also, working with everybody every day, you get a variety of buyers at the sale. So you can sort the animals and cater to a wider variety of buyers. So if your animals don't match up perfectly and hit that one market type, there's enough guys that want a 60-pound lamb or an 80-pound lamb or a 100-pound lamb or even a call yo at the sales barn, and there's more than one person wanting that animal, right? So it's all about the competitive atmosphere and creating that auction environment that gets you the high prices, right?
So when it comes to the timing of selling of lamb at auction, what advice do you have for producers who are trying to maximize their return throughout the year?
As far as a sales barn owner, communication with us is the key. We are talking with the buyers on a weekly basis, and we kind of have an idea what holidays are on the go and what they're looking for at that particular time. And usually if we're giving a producer a phone call, that's a really strong indication as to what we're looking for, or if they call us and we advise them to take our advice. We're not desperate to get people in the door. We want them to leave the sales barn happy. Many times, Chris and myself have told people to hold off for 2 or 3 weeks with the sale of a particular animal, just so that they can maximize their return. Sometimes when you do things blindly, you kind of hurt yourself by year end. I know as a kid, my family would do everything according to how they done it for years. They bought maybe in the spring and they would sell in the fall. And because we're globally driven now, we're not North America driven with the markets. You got to follow along because at any particular time, the market could heat up or cool off. And you got to have your finger on the pulse of what's going on if you want to be profitable at the end of the year.
I'd just like to add to that saying, like, if you're creating a high quality product, like a grain fed animal, and you have consistency, the consistency week to week throughout the buyers means a lot. If the buyers can see that your animals, that when they take them and they kill them and they send them to the store, the producers are buying it or the consumers are buying it and using that and enjoying it. Then next week they remember those animals and they push and they fight for that same animal. And that's what creates that market demand. But if you're going to create something like a grass fed animal, when you start like the globally driven thing, if you start now and you're competing with guys like Australia and New Zealand or even Western Canada that create a grass fed or just a subpar animal, they can create it a lot cheaper than we can in Ontario. And they do not have the costs of land or value or machinery that we have here. So if they can do it cheaper, then why are you competing with that market, right? Like create an excellent animal that will sell well. And that's the best bang for your buck.
That's really valuable advice. Thank you. So switching now to talk a little bit about the buyers who come into the auction. What type of buyers come into the auction and what are they looking for?
Aaron, we have a wide variety of buyers. We not only have packer buyers at the sales barn, but we have producers that come to the sales barn to buy feeder type lambs that they're going to take back to their feedlot situation to bring back at a later date, weighing anywhere from, 80 pounds to 110 pounds, finished grain fed animals. So, like Chris said, that's the nice part about the auction. We sort the animals up according to their size and quality. And, we have everybody from a packer buyer to a small, butcher shop to producers themselves buying replacements. There's a buyer for everything that comes through the door. Nothing needs to be passed on if you're aware of the market price.
So switching things a little over to challenges, what are some of the challenges that your businesses face and how can Ontario sheep farmers and the value chain support the sustainability of auctions?
One of the biggest challenges we see nowadays, and probably a lot of producers don't even think about it, is the activist groups that are, well, I guess against eating meat for one, and the other is, animals being used for more than just, pleasure, like a pet. And they have a lot of support from celebrities and other people. They have a lot of money available to push government in the wrong direction. And it is very, very important for lamb and other livestock producers in this country to educate the consumer as to they are getting a quality product to put on the table for their family, that these animals are humanely raised and harvested. And, I think there's not enough education, even to our government officials, as to the quality that we have here in Canada, with our producers. Our producers are very passionate about what they do, but where they're falling short is they're not educating people as to how excellent they do their job at the farm. And I think if we can get some education out there it is going to change a lot of minds, because there's nothing better than, you know, putting a product on your table at home that you know is healthy and delicious. And we just need more of that type of education going forward. You know, as far as the auction barns go, we face challenges with regulation, which we will overcome. You know, it might not be in my lifetime. It might be up to my kids to build new facilities that are up to speed with traceability and other things that these older sales barns just don't have the infrastructure to take care of. But at that point, you know, these hurdles will be met, because I feel the auction process is a true price discovery, and it's necessary. You know, we've seen it in the cattle business where packers, the big packers, eliminated all the smaller competition, and they decided we want to control the finished cattle. And they decided they didn't want to support the auctions. And now we're seeing in a marketplace where we're short on cattle numbers, that the cattle prices at the auction are actually higher than they're offering on the rail. And the packers are coming to the sales barn to buy because they're so short. And if it had been left to the auctions to do the marketing the way they do in the southern states, you know, they wouldn't have that control. So the producers would enjoy all those upswings, where right now they kind of keep it from really swinging hard in the favor of the producer. It always seems to be in the favor of the packer. So, you know, that's one reason that producers should understand the importance of the sales barn. Like we've seen people, you know, usually when they visit you at the farm and say, we want to buy some of your product, they go in there and cherry pick the best ones. And they don't want a certain number because maybe the weight's wrong, or maybe the quality's not there. So that producer brings the balance to the sales barn, only to find out the what we call the cutouts brought more dollars per pound than the good stuff they sold right off the farm. Because I always tell the producer, when somebody's knocking on your door, that's because they can't find it anywhere else, and they're still thinking about their own pocket first. So, you know, always remember that what we create in the way of competition at the sales barn goes a long way for the producer. But as far as, you know, challenges, that's the main ones. We could go on for hours about challenges, but, you know, we're professionals at what we do. I mean, sometimes the producers don't like the decisions we make, but we do it for the ultimate good of the industry. And, you know, I sit around a table of about 12 men that are all sales barn owners right across the country. And we ultimately decide what's the best for everybody. So when we go in front of the government, we go in front of the government with power. And sometimes we don't get everything we want for a particular area, maybe such as Ontario. But in the long run, it's good for everyone.
Well, we do appreciate everything that you do, Mark and Chris. And you've got five kids, so I'm sure you think about the future a lot, Mark. So
yes,
tell us about what you see in the future when it comes to livestock marketing. You know, you mentioned urban encroachment, or you mentioned activists, which I think goes hand in hand with urban encroachment. And we wonder, you know, do you have plans for growth for the market, changes? What are you thinking about?
Well, I like I said earlier, I think at one point we're going to have to build new facilities. I don't know if we're quite ready there, because I think our government is dealing with a lot of other problems that are, you know, obviously more important, like high interest rates and people being out of work and so that sort of thing. But at one point, to go hand in hand with the new regulations, you know, in order for traceability, speed of commerce, you know, in order to meet all the new regulations and still keep the speed of commerce up, we're probably going to have to build new facilities where in that case, everybody's going to have a say-so. The producer's going to have a say-so on how the chutes for unloading are going to be built. The government's going to have a say-so on how they want traceability handled. I'm going to have a say-so on how quickly I want the livestock moving through the barn. The buyers are going to have a say-so, because I think you're going to find, we do at Brussels and at Cookstown provide feed and water for livestock after it's sold and before it is sold. Other sales barns do not have that capability. And I think with new regulation coming along to keep public, satisfied that the animals are getting the best of care, we're going to have to build new facilities to accommodate all these things. And as far as the viability of an auction system, I think there's always going to be a demand for it, because the precious few that do direct trade, everything they have, it can't be sold direct. And they know that a certain amount of it is going to have to go to the sales barn where it can be sorted properly and go to an appropriate buyer.
So my last question was on challenges, and if we can just switch over to opportunities. OSF sees opportunities for the sheep industry to grow and meet future consumer demand. Where do you see opportunities for the lamb producers?
I'm going to let Chris start with this one, and then I'll kind of skin the tail on the cat, if you don't mind.
I see a lot of opportunity, especially in the Muslim markets. We're seeing a lot more Muslim holidays hitting Ontario and their big markets. It creates a lot of demand, and a lot of demand throughout the year that makes your year cut up. Like years ago when we first started, you had the Christmas and Easter where you had your big lamb sales and they were massive. And sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, but the rest of the year your lambs didn't bring much, right? Because they didn't have that competitive market throughout the year. Now we're seeing more of these Muslim markets coming through, and it really stretches out your year, and it gives you more time to market your animals throughout the year. And then these people also eat lamb throughout the year without needing a holiday. So it's just something they like, and they like to cook, and it's what they're used to from back home. So if we can get that and utilize those markets and keep them buying Ontario lamb and not other marketed lambs, I think it's a really beneficial marketing strategy. And I would definitely be going after them and creating a market where we have a good Ontario grain-fed lamb, and those guys go crazy for it.
I'm just going to further add that because the Ontario lamb is such a superior product in the fact that it's a lot, the majority of them are grain fed, people that have always consumed the more of the grass fed or the browser type lambs, once they've tried the grain fed, now they're demanding to get that grain fed lamb. And we actually have people right now in the Middle East that are distributing the grain fed lamb and trying to develop a consistent market to go to the Middle East. And I think along with the help of the government, which, like, getting back to our education to the government, there is a few hurdles to cross, but we're going to get there. We do have a good opportunity to export the good Ontario grain-fed lambs. And I think you'll see a lot of feeder lambs coming from outside the province into here to be grain-fed to meet those export demands. So I think that's going to be a good one in the near future if the government's willing to work for us to promote it to go outside the country.
Wow, that's really valuable insight. Thank you very much, Mark and Chris, for joining us today.
And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Join us next Wednesday for our education-themed interview with Don Matherall on shearing.
Hey, Tom, what you been working on?
Ontario Sheep Farmers' sponsorship program allows businesses and organizations to support Ontario sheep industry while increasing exposure. OSF sponsorship programs include information on various levels of sponsorship as well as a return on investment. Every year, OSF staff review the sponsorship and exhibitor packages to ensure that sponsors receive the most value for sponsorship, and we as an organization continue to have the financial support to do what we do. This year, we were early in getting the sponsorship package out in front of potential sponsors so they can make a decision early. For more information on OSF sponsorship opportunities, visit us at ontariosheep.org/sponsors or call Michael Richards at 905-745-4579 or email mrichards@ontariosheep.org.
If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe through your podcast app to receive alerts to our future episodes, and please share our podcast with your friends.
For more Ontario Sheep Farmers content, follow us on social media at Ontario Sheep Farmers on Instagram and Facebook, and at Ontario Sheep on X, formerly Twitter, and visit our website at ontariosheep.org.